Good evening, everyone. Hello.
Hello. This is going to be Actually Comics for Tuesday, June 26th.
Nice job.
Oh, thank you so much. I read
read the date.
Good job knowing what day it is.
Yeah, I actually got it wrong because we're really talking about Wednesday. But either way.
No, but that's the day it's for.
Yeah.
So that's totally right.
Yeah, goddammit. Comics. So, yeah, we're going to talk about some comics. There's some great stuff out. I was really stoked and some really, like, some big surprises for me.
Yeah.
Including a weirdo New Zealand comic that seems to be right at the top of Bob's pile.
Okay. One of my favorite comic series is called The Flaming Carrot. And this comic is not The Flaming Carrot, but it is called Blastosaurus, issue zero, I guess. It has a big zero on the cover.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. It's like the best of like almost like late 80s like indie stuff where it's like a mix of like Flaming Carrot and like
Fish Police.
Fish Police, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, early days, Reed Fleming maybe a little bit, but absurd. It's definitely a wonky book.
So, and it's also like kind of like it's kind of wonderfully kid friendly too at the same time.
Yeah.
It doesn't go too far into anything, but it's got that Tick vibe where it's, or Flaming Carrot vibe, where everything's just completely bonkers.
Well, honestly, a Flaming Carrot issue might be more absurd than this, but it's definitely more linear. This has like kind of a, there's a story to it, but it goes on tangents.
It's intentionally disjointed in a way that I really like. A bunch of people complained about it being too disjointed, but that is the charm for me, is how non-linear the story is.
Yeah, there's like a kind of like a central thing, but it's not like a narrative. It doesn't have like gravitas or like realism or anything like that. It's just like it's a guy.
It does
that's
have
like
squids.
There's
sewer squids.
Good one and bad one, and they are part of the story. And then there's like the Blastosaurus is like a man lizard dinosaur
sort of he's a triceratops.
Yes, but and he wanted to be called something. There's like a thing that explains why he's called Blastosaurus and it made no sense, but I was into it.
But that's why it's so really delightful.
Liked, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it's real good. Zero issue out tomorrow
from Golden Apple Books. Fairgray and Iding are the creative team.
Sorry, I'm going to keep clearing my throat a lot off mic. I hope that's okay, everybody. There's a lot of allergens in the air. I'm going to talk about The Century because Bob hated it. And
I
thought
it
was
fucking
awesome.
I didn't like it.
So I was never really a big fan of The Century because they were constantly trying to, they kept him longer than they needed to, basically. Like, he doesn't really fit as a Marvel superhero because he's DC level powered. He's insanely, he's got the power of a million exploding suns or something like that. And
it's pretty powerful.
I mean, and obviously that's a level of ridiculousness that doesn't really fit into some of the more street level stuff that Marvel's doing. But they did a really cool thing when Bendis kind of like retroactively inserted him into old stories. Reed Richards made the world forget about him, but he existed in these old comics and there are versions of the old Fantastic Four that had him as a character that never really happened, but
It was always very confusing.
It was pretty cool, and I thought that part was very cool. But then when they kept him in through like not Secret Invasion, through Siege and all those things, where he was like,
he kind of went bad.
Yeah, it's a little much. But now he's all broken down and sad, and
he was in the Doctor Strange thing, right?
Yeah,
like the most recent Doctor Strange.
Yep, and he's working a job at a taco place or something.
Nice.
This is
Jeff Lemire or Lemire, however it's pronounced, is the writer. And I really liked the art on it too. It's that guy or whoever, I don't know the gender of the person that made it, but was the artist on that Avengers crossover that went on like forever.
Yes.
There was like one of the artists on that who I really liked. And I was like, this is what you're doing with that person? Okay. Sentry.
I'm telling you, I dig it. I really do. And again,
cool.
I'm not a fan of the character. So so there we go.
You are now.
I am now.
you're getting your Sentry t-shirt tomorrow.
Exactly.
It's just plain and yellow.
No, I'm getting that stupid belt.
I'm going to get a tattoo of the Sentry. All on my whole back.
Perfect.
All right. All right. Let's talk about Multiple Man. How about that?
Oh, shit.
I really dug this.
Yes,
this is another
too.
Marvel book, Multiple Man, number one. So number one issue, kids, you love those.
I think this was my favorite book of the week, so I think that's kind of
It wasn't mine.
I think it was mine.
But it was up there. I really like it. It's good. The story of how Multiple Man was, you know, killed off in a crossover, which would be at least the second time that that's happened to Multiple Man.
Yes.
However, he is a Multiple Man, so death is a little bit easier to cheat than most. And this explains him coming back. And it was fun and involved a lot of X-Men characters, including the Beast and most of the New Mutants. And
lots of Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, they mentioned Oingo Boingo. And not another band that people know about.
Nope. Instead, turns out Hank McCoy, big fan of Oingo Boingo.
Which is cool.
Reference for everyone who grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
But yeah, no, that was... So Rosenberg, McDonald, and Bonvillain. Or Bonvillain.
Bonvillain.
So that is a new issue, number one, out from Marvel Comics this week. You might remember Multiple Man, Jamie Madrox from X-Factor. If you do, then definitely get this.
And this feels a little bit more like the X-Factor of Peter David that I really, 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 really love.
Yeah, it was one of the best books Marvel put out in our lifetime, for sure. That was one of my two comic book subscriptions, and they were both written by Peter David.
Yeah.
I had X-Factor and I had Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why those were the two, but because I liked other books.
And I really dug his Hulk run, too. But, I mean, really, X-Factor appealed to me in a way that very few books have, where I continued to read it, like, way, way into the late issues, which is... Usually I'll fade on a series like that, and I did not fade. I just kept being excited about what was coming up, and I honestly would have read it forever.
Yeah, I dropped off at a certain
point.
I dropped off at a certain point, but I was there for a long time.
I was literally there right until the end, and I was mad when they rebooted it. I was actually kind of miffed.
Little known fact about me, the only letter I ever had printed in a letter column of a comic book is in an issue of X-Factor.
Wow. Was it a Peter David era?
I'm not going to say.
Because
I don't want anyone to find it.
I do.
It's about Iceman. I can tell you that. I was really into Iceman. You know.
I was 35 years old.
And that's the thing is, like, I think I was older than I should have been writing a letter about Iceman to X-Factor.
That's not true.
I mean, maybe not. I wasn't old or anything like that. I feel like, I don't know, whatever.
I've got one in the chamber right now to write to them.
It does have a cover by one of my favorite artists, though.
God damn it.
So I can at least
I'm going to find that and I'm going to put it on the Facebook page.
I'll tell you. I don't care if you know. Whatever. It's right before the Peter David run.
Nice.
Because I was really worried that they were going to kick Iceman out of the X-Men when the new Jim Lee one started. So I was like, let me know what's going on, because I didn't know, and there was no internet or anything like that. And they were like, trust me, dude, Iceman's in it. Also, we like your name, because the editor's also named Bob. And then I don't know. And then there's like this whole like thing about the Orphan Maker. I said something about the Orphan Maker in it. I did a main Make Mine Marvel that involved the Orphan Maker.
Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. This is the too deep a dive for me.
Yeah. Let's burn this podcast.
Okay. I will then talk about another Marvel book that I loved, which was Wakanda Forever.
I like that too.
Really fun. Felt kind of 90s in a way, like, or early 2000s. Not in the negative way, more in the just kind of like, this could have been one of the good issues of one of those side X-Men books that was still well written but not in continuity. I thought it was really fun. It's just Spider-Man and the please say that.
I think it's Dora Milaje, but you know,
sure.
Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly
hung up on getting everything right.
Let's call it Dora Milaje. So the two main
I don't know what their actual title is. They're kind of like bodyguards, but that's not their title. They have like a regal title.
Yeah, they're sort of a warrior class of something sort. I'm not really 100% sure on that. Yes.
Badass
The two amazing standouts from the movie that made you want to go, oh, wow, I would like to watch a movie with them, which I would be shocked if they don't make.
Yeah, that would be cool.
They were pretty awesome.
Characters. They're badass. And they're badass in this. It's kind of like a fun kind of... cartoony, but like art style, you know, not like ultra realism or anything like that. It's fun, you know. It's definitely got a, like, I think a kid could read it, like a kid that's in the Black Panther movies, watch the Marvel movies would be like,
absolutely
felt very cinematic universe.
Yeah.
But not divorcing itself from the comic stuff.
Alberto Albuquerque. I don't know who that is, and I'm surprised.
I didn't know the writer either.
Because this artist definitely looks like they've got, like, new talent chops all over them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Into
book.
It.
Fun book.
Was into it.
Can I talk about the Brutalists?
Please do.
Okay, Michael Fifa, which I'm pretty sure I am pronouncing right.
Sure.
Bloodstrike, Brutalists. Number 2, a.k.a. number 23 of Rob Liefeld's Bloodstrike. This is amazing.
We only got the variant cover, of course.
The variant cover, I didn't realize that. Okay, so this cover is amazing. The variant cover is right that you only got it because it says introducing the pouch, and it is drawn by Rob Liefeld and is a guy made entirely of pouches, and he has a gun made entirely of pouches. And he is actually in the comic. There's an origin or just a kind of two-page thing that Rob Liefeld drew of the pouch, but the comic itself is just indie guy who does like a really great Suicide Squad style riff comic called Copra. And he's doing Bloodstrike, and I don't care anything about or know anything about the Rob Liefeld books. This is just like crazy and violent and awesome, and I love it.
Yeah,
it's
and you,
great.
You don't need to know anything about it either.
I think it's for people who don't know what it is.
Yeah,
which is amazing and a smart choice on Rob Liefeld's part.
Yeah, and also, man, that little story at the end is almost enough to make me like Rob Liefeld. Like it wins me over.
I have not been a fan of anything he's done more than those two pages in decades.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
That's good. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a book called Bedtime Games from Dark Horse.
This one is a number one.
It is a mini series. It's by Nick Keller. I was originally thinking this was going to be an anthology series. It looks on its surface to look an awful lot like the logo for one of those anthology series. It's got a guy with a book. So
even
kinda,
the title, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything about it screams this is like a Tales from the Crypt style anthology series. It is not. It's an ongoing story, and it's got an interesting premise. It's got an interesting cast, got interesting art. It doesn't tell me enough to know what the hell's really going to be going on, but there's some cool ideas, and I am absolutely 100% on board to continue it. Spooky kid story with some sort of, I don't even know if I can, what I can say that isn't like a spoiler.
Yeah, it's a mystery, and it is kind of, I thought it was kind of like a comic book Stranger Things that leaned a little bit more in a Bernie Wrightson horror kind of like
vein. That is absolutely dead on. Yeah.
Dug it.
Yeah.
I definitely felt a Stranger Things vibe with the like kid characters kind of like figuring out what's going on in this. But there's definitely some like super graphic like horror-y. Oh, I mean like not super graphic like sexual, but like super graphic like, you know, just like, you know.
Everybody assumed
corpses.
That's what you meant.
Yeah, of course they did. The sexual comic of horror.
That was good. I absolutely agree. It really is kind of like if Stranger Things was a feature in House of Secrets or something.
Yeah, or even if you combine Stranger Things with like Creepshow. Like just kind of that kind of 80s horror kind of thing. I don't know. There's the book and a dead corpse and a mystery and stuff.
And a mystery and some submerged stuff and kids playing in a lake and somebody does some stuff and creepy stuff happens.
I did kudos to the art whoever the artist is was I felt like clearly influenced by Bernie Wrightson and didn't like, you know, copy him, but like definitely had like that kind of an influence. So it was cool to see someone with that kind of an influence doing comics today.
That's,
I thought that was pretty cool.
The other thing that I thought about that was that there was not only was it a very Bernie Wrightson book, it was Bernie Wrightson, and then you could feel the person's own style behind it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't just totally copy him. It fused that kind of feeling.
It's someone that likes him.
It's
for
definitely someone who digs Bernie Wrightson.
Okay. So before I jump into the other horror book from this week that I really liked, I do want to talk about this might be my favorite comic of the week. The first really good issue of The Terrifics, number 5, is out. This is Jeff Lemire and Doc Shaner, and there's kind of like a four-way storyline that goes through. So every page has a kind of like a grid of like four or three panels, but you're following a timeline with the four characters and just kind of more of a... The art is so good. The story is really cool. I love the humanizing elements of Plastic Man and kind of Mr. Terrific is really cool. But then there's a part at the end where everybody in a town turns into Metamorphos. And that in itself is worth the price of admission. If you are a Metamorpho fan, there is a the villain of it is a throwback to the old Metamorpho comics, or more recently, fans of Wednesday comics will recognize some of the characters in it, and I really liked it. I thought it was good. The storyline that it's kind of about the characters was well done, and just the art is amazing. Shaner is amazing. Anyway.
Okay, two second throwaway. I just want to make sure everyone knows that Scooby-Doo Team-Up is out this week, and it's Scooby-Doo teaming up with the JSA.
How cool
and,
was it to see
and
the JSA?
Ma Hunkle shows up and kicks the crap out of everybody.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Boom.
Nice. I love Ma Hunkle.
Yeah, so...
I love the JSA, too, and it was like the first comic I've seen with the JSA, and of course, they're teaming up with Scooby-Doo for some reason.
It's important, because Scooby-Doo is a cultural icon.
Because they're like, we haven't...
He's a touchstone.
DC was going to relaunch JSA by now, but like screwed it up, so they're like, okay, like let's get a comic with the JSA in it so we can revive the copyright.
It was weird. I love how much
not a natural team up.
Their version of Green Lantern looks just like Freddy.
Oh
like,
man,
it's just Freddy with a mask.
It's great. Nice. That's Freddy's dad. Freddy's dad. Green. There was the part. I'm sorry that I liked where he said, "Rocked or great."
Fine. See, it's all worth it just for that.
I can't do Scooby Doo impression, but that was pretty good.
No. Okay. Most important comic of the week. For all of you people out there who want to invest your money in something that's going to put you through college.
Speculator Corner.
The first appearance of Wilson Fisk's daughter, Princess Fisk.
Princess Fisk is like probably the best name
that
I've heard in a long time.
And all joking aside, Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur, number 32, always... Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur is a great comic book.
Yeah.
It always is wonderful. And this crazy like little orphan Annie riff where little orphan Annie looks kind of like a version of Wilson Fisk, and she's just kind of a monster. It's kind of awesome.
Well, my favorite part to follow with this is I love this comic. So the art and story is really good, and this is exactly what he says. Like if Wilson Fisk, the kingpin of crime, adopts an orphan Annie, literally. And
she's definitely an orphan Annie.
But she is the daughter of a known Marvel Comics villain, and that is the tease. And I'm kind of curious to see who it will end up being. That is her actual parent, because it'll be like the Melter or something. But anyway.
Everybody loves the Melter.
Damn. Should we talk about this?
Ooh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Thor, number 2, by Jason Aaron and Mike Del Mundo. This is Thor and Loki and Hel with a bunch of other Asgardian Hel characters and badass, and the art is insane, and the story is really cool, and the end is really cool, and I really like this Thor comic. It's really good.
And also, man, Jason Aaron loves to put talking dogs and stuff.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I love,
there's a couple in this.
I love Thor-y so much, and Thor-y falls in love with the other monster, and then another one.
And then the other talking dog comes in.
Oh my God. It's so friggin' good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's so good.
Oh, and I remembered a couple weeks ago, it was either last week or the week before, I was talking about Mike Del Mundo. Maybe it was when the last Thor came out, and I was talking about the book that he did that I couldn't remember the name of it, and then I remembered the name of it. It was Weird World.
Oh yeah,
amazing. And I realized that the character in Weird World is very similar to the character Valkyrie as portrayed in the Thor movie and Exiles comic. I just way more like Granny Goodness style or something.
Yeah.
But like that was a crazy comic, and if there's a trade of that, that's worth getting.
Yeah, Weird World is excellent. If you're really enjoying the art in
Thor, it's a great story.
The Weird World story is great, and I think he also did the Weird World Secret Wars.
Yeah, it came out of
four or five issue as well.
He did that, and then there was the series that came out of it and only went 6 issues, and it was like this whole world and all these really cool characters, and they didn't really do anything. They haven't done anything with them since.
It's a real shame.
But anyway.
But I mean there it came out of the old Weird World series from Marvel as well.
Right. Blackwood?
Yeah, please.
Blackwood number 2. We talked about number 1, Evan Dorkin and Veronica and Andy Fish. This is the Cthulhuian school, college with crazy
Cthulhuian.
It's Cthulhuian. Cthulhuian. It's good. Blackwood is really good. It's more of the story.
Yeah.
Real good. It's a miniseries.
It really shows.
Sure, you probably still have copies of number 1. Yes? No?
Yes, I do. Yeah, it continues and it ups the ante, and you get to the point where you see where they're going with everything, and it did move forward in a way that I was like, oh, this is going to be,
yeah,
this is going to be one of my jams.
And someone loses an eye, because that's when you know things get serious. Is
yes,
when someone, it's actually a really good way to let someone know in a storyline that things are serious.
Someone loses an eye. Things are getting real.
Batman, Detective Comics, the new creative team is on. This is Batman and Black Lightning teamed up, and perhaps you're a fan of the Black Lightning show, which I hear is very good. I really dug this. I'm very happy that the last run ended, because it was ridiculous, and this is possibly like the formation of a new version of the Outsiders. The Justice League is in it. It's a great jumping on point. I like this storyline infinitely better than the getting married storyline that's going on in the other book. And I'm on board. So On the Outside, Part 1, Detective Comics, number 983, out tomorrow.
Awesome.
Today.
Venom, number 3.
Yeah, that was cool.
This is a great book. I love Ryan Stegman, so I'm always stoked. And I also love Donnie Cates, who, you know, is kind of, for me, is kind of a new acquisition. I didn't realize that he's my new favorite writer.
He's good.
But he is awesome. Yeah, man, this, again, it's a Venom book that I actually enjoy, and I don't really know why. But it's, you know, big stakes, everything's crazy.
Yeah.
You get all sorts of weird, creepy backstory on symbiotes and all sorts of stuff like that. It's fun.
And expanding the mythology of the symbiotes as well, which is cool. I'm going to talk about another one of these wedding storylines.
Okay.
This is Batman, prelude to the wedding, Harley Quinn versus the Joker. If you read the one where the Joker is in a church with Catwoman, this is apparently what happened immediately before that comic, and it is basically Harley Quinn beating the shit out of the Joker for an entire issue, and honestly, I fucking loved it. Do that. Harley Quinn literally just beating the shit out of the Joker. It was great.
That's great.
I mean, only on that level. I wouldn't say I have an opinion on it other ways, but I was just like, yep, keep doing it. Keep beating him up. That's great. Keep doing it.
Okay. I want to talk about this because I want to give a kind of a little special plug to this one. Deadpool Assassin number 2. I don't normally want to push Deadpool books because they feel very, everything's always the same and I don't really care. And usually it's just like they've flooded the market so much with Deadpool that nobody gives a crap, and I kind of don't give a crap.
R.I.P. You are Deadpool.
Yeah, exactly. But Deadpool Assassin, I think, is my favorite Deadpool book in a very long time.
Nice.
Really, really dug it. It feels more like a normal superhero comic. Like they basically, instead of going full on comedy wacky like they had been for a really long time, they're keeping a lot of those little bits of comedy in all of those parts, but it's still grounded in a normal superhero Deadpool story, so it feels a lot more like the old runs, like from the early 2000s.
I will say about this comic that, just tangentially, I didn't read this, but you picked up this cover is by someone named Gustavo Duarte, and he drew part of a Ms. Marvel book that is out, which I'll actually have here. So Ms. Marvel number 31, it says it's a 50th issue, but the issue number is 31 Legacy 50, because that makes sense. And anyway, he drew part of it that Saladin Ahmed wrote. It's like an anthology issue of Ms. Marvel, and not to transfer too much from the Deadpool thing, but this guy Duarte is amazing. I really like his art. It's very really kind of cool. Scotty Young.
Yeah, I like it.
Really stylized and cool. He did that cover of that Deadpool as well.
Awesome. You know what? I'm going to break for two seconds.
For a commercial.
Yes, I'm going to break for a commercial, not because the cat really wants to unplug us terribly right now. All right, hey friends,
did you know that Coast City Comics and the Funbox Monster Emporium are not only purveyors of fine podcasts, we're also a store? What? I know. We have tons of games, comics, toys, both new and vintage. We also design and print our own t-shirts, patches, magnets, and pins. All this stuff is available in both our brick-and-mortar store in downtown Portland, Maine, and on our website. If you come to visit the Portland Main Store, we also have a great selection of pinball machines that you can play. We're always buying and trading vintage video games, toys, comics, horror, monster magazines, toys, memorabilia. If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, just give us a call at the store, hit us up on Facebook or Instagram. We're at Coast City Comics on Instagram, and we're just Coast City Comics on Facebook. Thanks so much.
All right, so we're back, and the cat has not managed to unplug us, so...
Good job,
cat. I know.
Good job preventing the cat.
Yes,
of
course.
Part of why that's happening is because of the feeding that is also going on. But we're going to just kind of blow through some of the other stuff that's out. I wanted to really quickly mention Marvel 2-in-1 number 7 by Chip Zdarsky and Ramon Perez. And it's the Thing and the Human Torch searching the multiverse for... the other members of the Fantastic Four, and Betrayal is afoot, and Doctor Doom is also there. And I like it. It's good. Also, Man of Steel number 5 is out. It is painted, drawn, whatever he does, by Adam Hughes. So it is really cool looking.
Oh, whoa. It's Adam Hughes?
Oh, the whole issue. It's really good.
I didn't know he did that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Apparently,
he gets paid so much
when Brian Bendis comes along. But
wow,
yeah, it was art wise really spectacular. It's more of the just kind of building to a crescendo. You got anything?
I didn't get to read this one, but I loved the first issue of Pestilence. So here is the second issue of Pestilence, and whoa, it gets really graphic in here.
It sure does. There's a
crap?
Orgy on page 5 or something. It definitely is. It's definitely a story of Satan.
Well, that got out of control quick.
Well, it's more of the same from the first issue. It's just like way more sex in this issue than the last one.
All right.
But still... pretty good for a horror book. I was going to talk about really quickly, Black Panther number 2 is out. Ta-Nehisi Coates, Daniel Acuña. This is the future Black Panther in space. And it is really cool and very like fans of the Black Panther movie, but also perhaps fans of Star Wars might really like this because it is basically a cross between Black Panther and Star Wars. And it's pretty badass and super fun and cool. Also, Saga is out, just to mention that. 53 Saga. Real cool.
Yep.
Good book. Everybody loves.
So in sad and
excuse me.
Sad and I guess awesome news, talking about just how awesome Harrow County is. We have the last issue of Harrow County.
Yeah.
It's ending at issue number 32. One of the best horror books of any generation. God damn it, Harrow County was a really fun read. Unfortunately, this is it, but I think it managed to go out before it got boring or before it overstayed its welcome. I think it's going to be much more memorable because of it. Man,
it's
what a great friggin' book.
Yeah, it's super like it is one of the best horror comics to ever come out. It's definitely the best comic about witches that I've ever read. And in about a lot more than that. And it's actually truly Tyler Crook. I can't wait to see what he does after this because he's such an amazing artistic voice in comics. And I've loved him since he came onto the Hellboy books. And when he did this, it was really cool. But it's a natural ending to the story, and the last issue is out.
Yeah, and also if you have been reading it and you're desperate for more, don't forget about Sixth Gun if you haven't read it. Sixth Gun is wonderful. It is not the Western that it sounds like it is. It is set in Western times, but it is 100% horror book. Mm. It's really backwoodsy and swampy. Think like Pumpkinhead meets Goon in the Wild West.
That's a cool book.
It's good stuff.
Does that still come out?
Occasionally there are things. I haven't seen anything for a while, but I mean, It seemed like it was dead in the water, and then like Son of the Guns came out, and then there was another miniseries. So it may not be finished forever. I think he might come back to it.
Yeah, that's cool. That was a good book. I liked it.
There's a mystery in Madripoor.
Yes.
That continues for the Hunt for Wolverine number two.
The mystery in Madripoor.
Mystery in
continues.
Madripoor number two. Blah blah blah. Meh.
Yeah.
It exists.
Another thing that exists is this Teen Titans special, and there was a Titans special that came out a couple weeks ago that I really liked. This, I am not really sure what they're doing with the Teen Titans, but apparently now the Teen Titans are all about murdering people, and that's the new direction for Teen Titans. So murder away,
finally.
Teen Titans. Just keep on being 13 years old and murdering people. That makes
Killer Be Killed is out as well. There's
yeah,
a new
yeah.
issue of Killer Be Killed.
I think that might be the last issue of that.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure. I don't read it. I should.
Issue number 20 of Killer Be Killed.
Yeah, Sean Phillips is another amazing.
That's
amazing. I want to read this in trades.
If this is the last issue,
holy
I think
crap.
I can see why it would be.
Wow.
I know that Sean Murphy doesn't read a ton of comics, but he picks this up. So.
Oh yeah,
he's a big fan of his artwork. So
okay.
I don't know if he mentions that to anybody, but
he does
dig it.
This is definitely the last issue, at least of like this arc. Maybe it'll come back. I don't know what happens with it, but I have to read that in trades, and I haven't, so I didn't look at it. But Killer Be Killed is out, and man, it is gorgeous.
And also to throw back to things, if you're reading Killer Be Killed and you can't get enough that type of story, I mean, go back to Criminal.
Yeah.
All of the Criminal books are so good.
Those are good. Also,
and that's them doing their thing elsewhere. Specifically, and if you only want to read one thing, make sure you read The Last of the Innocents story, which is just an entire riff on the Archie universe where horrible, horrible things happen to every Archie character.
Yeah, but it's the smartest thing. Also, by the same team, if you haven't read it, The Fade Out is really good, too.
Fade Out is great.
That's like about Hollywood and kind of showbiz. There's a couple other books out. X-Men, Spider-Man. There's
the X-Men Blue is still that story with the poisons. So, you know.
Jimmy Wolverine infected with a venom.
Yeah, you could skip it.
Yeah, you could. but then you wouldn't know what happened.
But then, yeah, I don't know.
Will they save him?
That Venom story should have just died. The poisons thing did not need to continue.
There was a little overkill in the Venoms for a while. This Spider-Man comic made no sense to me. Apparently, he's in the future. I'm also... oh, bad. Sorry.
Don't die.
What happened? Inhaled some dust or something. But I think we're pretty much
we're through all the stuff. There's a bunch of really cool other nonsense out this week. There's a plush goose from Saga.
Nice.
Good luck with me pronouncing that correctly. I mean, honor the umlaut. It's a goose. So
Goose.
His name is Goose. Like from Top Gun.
Yes. if they make a movie and he's not voiced by Anthony Edwards, it's a true shame.
So we have one of those. Also for NECA stuff, we got a bunch of really good horror NECA figures. There's like the
Laser Blast. Is that one of them?
Oh, yeah. For Full Moon, the Laser Blast from also a Mystery Science Theater episode.
Oh, I've never seen it, and I always have wanted to, and I don't want to see it as a Mystery Science Theater.
It's wonderful. But we also have Mystery Science Theater cards, and we've also got like all sorts of other weird stuff.
Yeah.
The Friday the 13th Part 3 Ultimate figure from NECA.
Oh, that's what those were.
Yeah, they're great.
Cool.
They're awesome.
I saw the boxes, but I didn't know what they were. It looked like DVDs.
The lenticulars are beautiful. Mm. And also, just for all of the locals, if anybody cares, Covered in Bees playing on Saturday at Portland House of Music.
Nice.
We're doing the 24-hour album from beginning to end.
Cool. That's
which
a
would
good
be fun.
One.
So that's a thing that we're doing. And also, I had some people asking about the theme that we use for the podcast. That is, sometimes it is Manwich. They were asking about.
Oh, yeah, I actually thought about that every time I listened to it, which, yes, I do.
About that song. That is Manwich. That's my old silly metal band. I put up a link on Facebook if you are curious. It's free to download off off SoundCloud or Bandcamp or whatever it is.
I loved that band.
So it was a thing.
It was. It was an experience.
It was definitely something.
Yeah. It was cool though.
Yeah. One time when we did that song, we actually had a guy in a complete monkey costume running through the audience, terrorizing people.
I was not at that show.
And he almost died because he overheated because it was like August.
Oh God.
He wound up going, it was at Geno's, and he ran up the stairs and then passed out.
Holy
like,
shit.
Like he had to be pulled out of his monkey costume. So we almost killed poor Mitch Ouellette in a monkey costume.
Oh. Wait, he's the Yeti. Oh wait,
he is.
Am I not supposed to say that?
He's some Yeti, probably. I don't know which one you're referring to.
but yes, he has one. I'm sorry, I meant that he has.
No,
he has a Yeti.
He straight up
a pet
was. Yeah, but he was dressed as a monkey, like he was at our wedding, like Michelle and my wedding.
Oh, that's cool.
He was dressed as a monkey.
Wow, that's like his thing.
I guess it's kind
of
his thing.
Like he's like the Janos Prochaska of Portland. Yeah, I pulled a Janos Prochaska reference out. I've been waiting for that for
Jesus,
literally my entire life to make a Janos Prochaska. Look him up.
You know,
follow that wiki hole.
There's no better place to end the podcast than that obvious reference that everyone got. Thank you guys so much.
You can thank Howard Chaykin for me even knowing who that guy is.
I will not thank Howard Chaykin for literally anything.
Oh my God. No, that was when they did his Black Hawk series, he made his name Janos Prochaska.
Oh,
That's Black Hawk's secret identity.
Jumping Jiminy. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.